Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 45. Guys, we have to follow up our last episode where we featured legendary concert promoter Rich Engler. His documentary released worldwide, Behind the Stage Door. It's really incredible, the story of him and his wife, Cindy, and their journey through booking over 6,000 concerts in over 50 years. But he revealed to us, as you know, Sheila, I'm surprised at you. Do you see what she did, Jim?
That's what a pro. She's a pro.
Tom Jones.
Like Peyton Manning. Watch the film.
We asked Rich, what is the one weirdest thing that they asked for in their rider? So all these bands or performing artists ask for all these unique things. And he told us Tom Jones would ask for a pair of black socks.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim, you knew exactly where that was going.
Yes, I did.
So you know what our partner Sheila did?
Studied
she started Googling.
Oh, yeah. Put up photos.
She Googled
sure.
Tom Jones and wanted
analyzed.
To see if she could see.
Did you see a Nike
evidence.
Emblem or Nike or any kind of swoosh or anything? Did you see that?
No, but I saw
did you
something
notice?
That
socks.
Said Hanes, I think, somewhere.
Hanes? Did he go Hanes? I was wondering where we
were. Seriously.
Did you see a sock?
I
did it look like a sock?
Look at that. She's blushing.
He probably was really good, though. Tom Jones had to be like a pro at that point with the sock.
There were tight pants.
Yeah, sure.
It's not unusual.
But wear socks.
But I couldn't tell if it was embellished down there or not.
Really?
Yeah, he apparently did a good job of fitting them
funny
in down
that
there.
You took the time to Google Tom
Jones.
Come on,
I just had to, though.
I'm going
to
do it after
you're
the
telling
show,
me you though. Didn't?
After we tape.
You weren't curious? Come on, tell
I'm
the truth.
I want to see it.
I mean,
now.
I know you're men, but come on, tell the
it.
Truth.
I'm curious how he did it. You'd have to be really good at it after you do it for that many years. If you're doing it for like 30 years, that sock move, you are really good at rolling up, putting in.
I'm wondering how big the socks were, but I mean, were they
he can handle any
ankle
sock.
Socks or were they knee socks?
At that point, he can handle any sock.
Jimmy's using anklets.
I use anklets.
You know, I was just going to say, cut. You know what, Jimmy? You seem to know an awful lot about this.
Yes,
wait a minute.
I'm wearing them right now. The ankle ones are easy to sit
did
down
you
with.
Meet Tom Jones once?
Yes, I did. I met him. He was a very nice guy. I used to work. When I was stand up full time, the Tropicana when I was a kid. And is it my stomach or yours?
That was my stomach.
My stomach used to
I'm
growl.
I'm starving. Man.
Ever,
get
I mean,
some food
it happens,
in this, man.
I have growl. My stomach has growled like in serious
you
conversations.
You guys
I
can hear that.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
I don't
so,
even know what to
I'm
do
sorry.
When
I'm, my stomach interrupted.
That was a loud growl.
Tom Jones.
You know what I do if I'm if it's growling and I'm in an important conversation with someone and I'm kind of embarrassed? They don't say anything. I try to recreate the sound somehow. Like
oh,
I move
I
something around.
That.
I'll twist the chair around. See if I can get a squeak or something. Just to throw them off, because, you know, it's hard to, it's weird. I don't know.
Actually didn't have dinner and
your stomach growl.
Didn't have breakfast
that was like
haven't had lunch.
That was your stomach screaming
Larry,
at you. Yeah.
I got to get you some food.
Your
man.
Stomach is saying, feed me.
I know, but wait a minute before
but back
we
to
okay,
Tom
back
Jones.
To Tom Jones.
Tropicana,
Tom Jones.
Atlantic City, what they did was in those days, they, instead of putting like a buddy hack it for like $150,000, they got three comics. from New York or on the road. Comedy clubs are big. And a small community were headliners in the East, and I happened to be in the Northeast headliner. So I was always got in the routine, or you know, the rotation of being one of the comedians at the Trop in Atlantic City, which was cool. But when you did it with the three kids, there's always like one, seemed like old timer comedian at the time, you know, from the Poconos or something. It's like two guys from Dangerfield's picture, one Poconos guy,
like a Henny Youngman type.
Yes, the older comic, you know, new
take
to game.
My wife, please.
And was really real big technicians, really good comedians, and we're not known, but really good. But it was a thing in that when you perform, and still this till this day, it's the same. If you performed in Atlantic City in those casino kind of atmospheres or Las Vegas, if you went to a show, they had to introduce you if you're working on the strip. Like if somebody was working, you know, I had to announce them that they were at my show or our show. I'd say, oh, yeah, by the way, we have so-and-so who's working at the Sands, you know, with Gloria Estefan or blah, blah, blah. Please take a stand up and say hello. And that's like a thing. So my buddy Dave, I don't know if you want me to give his last name. The time he's in his 60s. I hope he's still around. He's a really nice guy. Dave, this comedian guy, old time. He's like, I said, in his 60s at the time. He said, Jimmy, let's go to you know Tom Jones' show. I said, yeah. And we talked. He knew the opening act. Something Roman. But the opening act. But anyway, in the show, it was cool. Tom Jones introduced me, like, in Dave. He goes, ladies and gentlemen, there's a couple of comedians working at the Trouble Counter down the street. You know, Jim Crenn, Dave, and we're like, get up and wave to the crowd. It's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
Then afterwards, got this, you know,
talk. Any women throw anything at you?
No, no socks even. I didn't even know the sock back then. I was a rookie. Aww. I had no idea about wearing the socks, or I'd had women
think
everywhere.
Tom Jones got a lot of dates?
You think?
The comedian was the guy who got the women for him. He told
what?
Jones, Tom, there was women in the audience, and if Tom liked a girl, like in whatever, he'd scout, and he'd go out third row, fourth seat, invite her backstage, wherever he talked.
Hey,
and
the man was hot.
Tom was
let's
with,
face
yeah,
it, Tom Jones man. Was hot
My
in his
wife.
Day.
Man wore two socks for crying
I would have never thought for years.
Imagine the disappointment, though,
that
once
really,
the sock was taken
oh,
away.
Oh, that's trauma. Yeah. That's a lot of, that's like therapy.
My
that's
wife
like therapy for the poor woman.
Love. Right? That Tom Jones song, It's Not Unusual.
I love it too. He's cool.
I never realized,
cool.
I kind of blew it off. I'm like, she likes Tom Jones. I'm thinking she likes his music.
Ha, no.
If you, Larry.
How naive am I?
If you ever
how
get
many
this,
women do you think?
Tom? I'd say Will Chamberlain numbers, 1,000.
Will Chamberlain said in his
1,000,
book,
right?
20,000.
20,000. Oh,
they're
say,
walking STDs.
I say Tom is a...
Spoken like a true woman.
Tom Jones
well, what can
is,
I say?
Tom Jones is in that league. 20,000, I think.
Oh. Really?
I would say without a doubt.
That's
how many girls have you gotten for singers you've opened for?
Yeah, none. I've never been the scout. Never yeah, been the guy. Can you, you know, Jim, can
hey,
you pick
Jim.
One out?
But think about those rock stars. Yeah. They say like Mick Jagger. I just saw this popped up yesterday on one of those social media strings. You
right.
go down a rabbit hole of celebrities who've been yeah. with a lot of people. It's been very public because Will Chamberlain wrote about
20,000.
Yeah.
And I was when that first came out, I went to the Civic Arena to a Penguin game and I looked around and I thought, this place holds, I think at the time it was like 17,000.
Yes.
This
wow.
place
yeah.
couldn't hold the number of women he claims to be with.
3,000 women.
Let's do the math here, too.
They said it was
okay.
1.5 women per day since he was 15.
But there were days okay. he had two or three.
I mean, come on.
One day off.
Now, can you imagine,
are you
two or three another
BS?
Can you imagine being you're... married to a person
that's a
like
strained,
that?
That's a strained
because
relationship.
Of course.
It's very strained.
You know, there's no way they're yeah. not going out on
it's
you every
one.
Single night.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
I mean,
really rough.
There are some guys wow. that is just as strong an addiction
sure.
as drugs or alcohol.
Well, and I think that's what it is. It's an addiction.
I mean, at that point, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're never getting satisfaction.
Well, you know where he was if he was ever late for anything. Hey, where are you? Oh, forget it. You
and
know
they,
where you
Magic
were.
Johnson, they said, and I think it was like multiple people at a time.
And I guess they were proud of that.
Was he like in a 10,000 range at the time?
I don't remember.
I'd think Mick Jagger would have to be. He's got to be.
Oh, probably.
He's got to be up there.
1.5 a day.
Right.
Just, Mick Jagger was on the list.
Still going at 80. So he's, or whatever he is, he's late. So he's really up there.
Sheila, this is actually
one of the all-time greats,
an interesting
Hall of Fame.
Just like young athletes. Same thing with athletes. They're rich. They're famous.
Sure.
A lot of them are handsome. They're in great physical shape.
Yeah.
You know, people wonder, I can't believe they're with these girls all the time.
Well,
like when you're 23
you do that?
Years old and you have millions of dollars
yeah.
and you're good looking and physically as fit as you'll be in your entire
what
life.
What are you going to do with
Hello,
it?
Hello, sign me up.
Yeah, really, that'd be my hobby. Absolutely.
Right?
That would be my hobby.
And it's
women,
a powerful aphrodisiac.
It's a great
and
hobby.
Some women, not suggesting you, but
Thank
women
you.
Would yes, throw themselves at these celebrities.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Like Mickey Rooney back in the day.
Isn't that weird? Like, I mean, God bless Mickey Rooney, but he was like the man I heard.
You know, the
but he
one
wasn't
that
exactly hot stuff.
Yeah, but he got the Academy Award nomination.
The one that
was
shocked
it.
Me, surprised me.
I know which one you're going to say.
Bob Hope.
Yes,
I told Jimmy
we talked
this
about
before.
It.
Wait, he was married for like 60 years.
Bob didn't
Bob
care.
Hope?
Listen
Bob
to this.
Was hoping.
Oh, you're
Sheila?
Destroying
Bob
my
Hope.
Image of Bob Hope.
Bob, I hope I'm with him.
He's when I grew up, and he would do those Christmas shows in Vietnam.
Little did you know.
And USO, and they were so touching and heartfelt.
Right. Yeah.
It really, even as a young kid, I love Bob Hope for
he was
that.
Funny.
And
everything.
I liked his style. You know, when he once, multiple times, emceed the Academy Awards, and one of the lines I still remember is,
what was?
Hi, welcome to the Academy Awards, or as we call it in my house, Passover.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his timing was impeccable.
So,
he's one of the greats.
I'm watching a documentary. And they're showing Anne Margaret. He took her to Vietnam for these USO shows and Christmas shows.
Wait, they didn't have a fling.
Yes, they did. I'll bet any money.
With Anne
check
Margaret?
This out. Yeah, I do.
So
he couldn't let that.
Then it turns out
try.
That I found out that it's Bob Hope was a world-class philanderer.
He was Wilt Chamberlain.
No, really?
Yes.
Multiple.
Okay,
they said they have women.
It's known.
And one of the writers they asked, I thought he was going to dispel it. Or at least say, no, that's not true. He goes, oh, yeah, everybody knew it. He used to have, Sheila, multiple women would wait for him outside his hotel, whatever town he was in, and he would just pick one or two.
Who he wanted.
Or three.
Okay, isn't
that amazing?
That's crazy. But I think I told you on an earlier podcast that I was propositioned by Ed Asner.
Oh.
Do you remember me telling you
no.
that?
Maybe it hasn't this secretly.
This was back in the 90s, and he was in town for something, I believe, at the Benedum, some show. And I was sent to interview him for the news.
And what did he say?
And he was at WTAE Radio. He was doing something with WTAE Radio. So I went downstairs. I was at the TV station upstairs, went downstairs to interview him. And he essentially asked me, you know, what are you doing after my show tonight?
And you turn him down,
I'm
right?
I'm definitely not hanging out with you.
You know what?
I did get his autograph. But...
You know what? Ed Asner.
Yeah. Ed
Asner. It's like the Mendoza line for probably, if you're famous, you're going to meet a lot of girls. If you're famous and rich and all that. But there's the Ed Asner who's rich and famous who probably got a lot of no's. I'd say it's the Ed Asner line. Are you better looking or worse looking than Ed Asner? If you got Ed Asner, you're not getting, even with the star. Academy Award, carry Academy Award. You're at Asner. Not
if you keep asking, eventually you're going to find one.
Eventually, if he's ambitious, but nothing with Ed. Ed could just walk around, talk about, he was on a Mary Tyler Moore show, whatever he did, and nothing. It's the Ed Asner line.
Bob Hope, that shocked
me. Bob was better looking than Ed Asner.
That really shocked
me. I was disappointed.
I wasn't totally shocked.
And he lived to be 100.
That's why.
Well, apparently he was doing something right.
I try to tell my wife, this is what keeps men going.
She says,
you're going to die young.
Yeah. He was like David Lee Roth or
so
something.
So I want to know, do you suppose she had to know his wife?
You think she knew for sure?
Yes. She had to know.
They had an arrangement.
Really?
Where when he was on the road. What happened on the road stayed on the road. And
she stayed home, did her thing.
And he wouldn't do it in front of her.
Oh, well, how kind of
class.
Her. He's not going to do it in front of her. So, wow.
Well, I didn't mean in front of like,
hey.
You know.
Got
this
scruples,
is
man.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Sheila Hyland and Jim Krenn. And
ooh, I got top billing.
I just switched it up for a second.
You deserve
do you
top
mind,
billing.
Jim?
No, I don't.
No,
Sheila.
Jim and I are old school when it comes to ladies first.
Always.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm no lady.
Jim is a gentleman.
Yes, I am.
He is a gentleman.
My wife says, geez, I really love Jim Krenn. He's such a gentleman.
Thanks, Cindy.
Yeah.
Aww.
Really,
thank you.
Really dug your thing. That story about St.
Therese of Lisieux.
Oh.
Yeah. Amazing story. Yeah.
That is a game changer for a lot of people when they find out, because they think, oh, Jim, he's happy-go-lucky. He's a comedian. Everything's a blast.
Yeah.
But that was a powerful story.
It's one of those I never forget. I could tell real quick when we have time.
Yeah. I mean, even if you know, I'm aware of it. Have you heard this?
I don't
recall.
Maybe.
Oh, this is.
It's a cool thing that happened to me. It's a miracle.
Let them have it.
Okay.
It's a miracle.
Tell us your miracle
story. To a retreat, religious retreat. St. Paul's is on Southside. There's a monastery on Southside.
Why did you go to this retreat?
I just saw, you know, I grew up Catholic, and I'm, you know, my, just the way it is. And I just needed one of those weekends to get away, and you don't talk or anything, just pray and meditate.
You were like a monk.
Like a monk, exactly.
For a weekend.
Kind of rejuvenate for a weekend.
Imagine Jim talking for a week.
It was, well, that's just it. You could talk because of these like workshops they'd have once in a while. So they have a workshop on like a Saturday afternoon. It says workshop with St. Therese of Lisieux, with a theologian who was, you know, expert on different saints, spoke on them, their lives. So, and I go, and I said, I don't remember the saint, St. Therese of Lisieux, you know, 12 years of Catholic school and, you know, all that. I still don't remember, but I'll go, you know. So I'm sitting there and it was interesting. She was an interesting saint. She died at 24 of tuberculosis. She had 2 years, and you have to read, I suggest reading about her. She's a really cool saint. But there was 2 years of her life that she called them the dark nights, that she lost her faith. And all of us out there, at some point, you do kind of lose your faith a little bit, right? And it's part of being believing, if you believe out there. But so she loses her faith, and she didn't want to tell her sister Celine, because her mother and dad already passed away. Tuberculosis was a death sentence back then. Mm-hmm. And she thought, well, I'll just go through the motions. So anyway, toward the end of her life, she tells Celine, she said, you know, God spoke to me twice, came in, was like, you know, I spoke to God. And she, I'm not on any medicine or anything. So this theologian is telling me a story, and he says, well, you know, Therese gives you a son. Now, a saint is not a god. It's a 100. A definition of a saint is Larry's. It could be a saint amongst us. The definition of a saint is a 100% first rate human being. So when you pray, you're praying to God, but kind of in honor of the saint, to explain that. But so she gives signs, he would say. Like people who are having a crisis in their faith, you know, they pray. You, like I said, you pray to the saint, but it's really trying to pray to God through the saint. They're not the God. So anyway, he'd say, yeah, you know, you'd be surprised. I've been teaching about her for 25 years in one of the saints I teach about. And he said, and her thing was a roses. She'd call the little flower. Loved roses. And he'd say, there would be a sign. Like people would say, Therese, give me a sign. I'm having a crisis. And like the next day, there'd be a dozen roses at the door, he said. This, you know, theologian told me this. And he said, I get emails and letters all the time. So it's really interesting. So I found that fascinating. And this was November of 1999. January, end of January of 2000. I'm having this rough time. You know, just one of those weeks we all go through, a month actually, where my grandmother passed away recently at that point. Things were going, a lot of transition going on in my life. And after doing the morning show, there was a church, St. Simon and Jude in Green Street. It was open in the day. So in the morning, so I go there after, and it's just quiet. So I go there to sit, and there's this little old lady up in a left-hand corner, and I and we're the only ones there. And I was kind of going through that crisis of not believing. You know, it's a crisis. And I'm sitting there, and I'm getting angry. I'm like, I don't know. What is this? This is like a waste of my time. And, you know, I really got angry. And I remember Therese, St. Therese, and I remember looking at the cross and saying, all right, Therese. So I go, I dare you to give me a sign right now. And I said it a lot more angry, you know, even swore like to myself. Mm-hmm. I said, I dare you. I said, not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Not an hour from now. Right now. I'm talking to myself. God doesn't exist. I'm talking to myself. I want a sign right now. I dare you. I said, I dare you. I get up and I go to the back of the church, get pamphlets for my mom, Lou, likes to read the pamphlets. I know that. So I'm look getting the pamphlets for her. And as I'm getting the pamphlets, the little lady was in the left side of the church in front, was outside. And she's coming in. She's like in her 80s, and she's trying to not make sure I didn't leave. So she's yelling for me not to leave. And I say, take your time, you know. So she finally gets to me. And she's holding something in her hand, a little paperback blue book. And he says, she goes, you're going to think I'm crazy. I go, why? She goes, why? I pray to God conversationally. And in the middle of my conversation, a voice came to me. And it said, you got to get the blue book. Give it to the guy in the back of the church. So she's explaining. She goes, I bought this book 6 months ago in a store. And it cost $1.50. Said, I just put it in the middle of my glove compartment thing in a car. She's telling me, so, because I knew it was what the voice meant, though, the blue book. And so she said, I ignored it. And she goes, I start praying again. It came loud. It came strong. You have to get the blue book. You have to give it to the guy in the back of the church. It's going to answer something. Question. Swear to God, this happened. Right. It's amazing. So I'm kind of looking, okay. So she has this little paperback blue book. And she goes, like I said, it's $1.50. She goes, you can keep it because for some reason you're supposed to have it anyway because, you know, it's supposed to answer some kind of question. I go, okay, thank you. So he hands me the book. She walks away. And I look down at the book, and on the cover is the cross, and underneath is a quote. The quote is, God, how I love thee, Saint Therese of Lisieux.
Whoa.
It was her prayer book. I mean, there are other saints' prayers in it, but she was on the cover with her quote of that prayer book. God, how I love thee, Saint Therese of Lisieux.
Oh, that just gives me some chills.
I dared her. That was a smack in the back of my head, you know, as God saying, all right, here you go, buddy. But I'm there. It was a pretty amazing thing to happen. I never forgot, you know, obviously could forget that.
I remember you told the nun that we visited mm-hmm. at McGuire Home, mm-hmm. Sister T.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this is a little addendum to the story. So this is the first time I heard it from Jim, and he's telling me and this nun, and we're in this little chapel. And I'm looking over his shoulder. Now, this, I have no idea any of this is coming. I look over the shoulder, and the nun says, after Jimmy tells the story, she points, and the stained glass window behind us was?
St. Therese of Lisieux. St. Therese. It's just cool. It's really just cool. You know, it's really special.
That?
Yes, yeah,
cool.
I do now. When you said that, I did until you just brought that up. It was
her.
It's just cool. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And the stained glass window, completely everything lined up.
And it makes me think, you know, when people wonder if they're going to see their loved ones out there, you know, when we heal to me, I believe you will. Obviously, Therese told her sister and told us. And I don't know. There's no room for any chance in that event that happened to me. Like, there's, you know what I mean? There's no, like, well, it might have been this. It might have been that. There's none.
No, you're 100%
that's way
convinced.
Too coincidental.
Yeah. It was just
that.
Too
and
exact.
And you to tell me and Sister T that story and her to point out, do you see the stained glass window?
Yeah. It's like, okay.
Is her. That,
cool?
That kind of shook me up in the moment.
Yeah. It's a powerful.
And I think we should call this episode Saints and Sinners.
Yes.
We talked about the sinners.
I got a long
Bob
way to go.
Hope, I'm still crushed.
He's a good man. He went at it. I think his wife had that now, right? Like you said.
Oh,
it was. You think it was
yeah.
like, you said it was an arrangement thing they had or on the road?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just
it didn't count. He takes the ring off.
Honestly, until a few years ago, Sheila was like, oh, Bob Hope.
Yeah.
I kind of thought he was the guy, pedestal, you know. Somebody that did this great work.
Sure.
And he did do great work.
Yeah, he did.
It's funny because just because he did great work doesn't mean he wasn't sleeping with all these women.
Used to think Jim Baker did great work, too.
Well, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm thinking, great work. But when you tell me this thing where his wife says they got a deal, he could have any woman he wants when he goes on the road, all of a sudden, he's booking you, hey, USO shows.
Let's see where you're at. He's all over the world.
Yes, he said, I'm on the road. Come
Meanwhile,
on.
Meanwhile, she might have been home partying. Who knows what she was up to?
Good point.
You know what?
Never
I think it's a lot different for women. I think if I have the opportunity to speak directly I'm going to say straight up, Lord, you made us this way.
Well, yeah.
Wasn't my idea.
Yeah.
Why do I think that's attractive? There are guys, Sheila, in their 80s and 90s who, if a pretty woman walks by, they react. And a guy told me just the other day, he goes, Larry, to that point, he goes, my dying father, on the final day, towards the end of his last breath, a good-looking nurse came in, and he went with his eyebrows
yes,
like,
see?
Wow.
It's just,
and I'm thinking, is that what it is? You get to the end of your life?
It's just amazing. Amazing gift from God.
Why do men cheat? Do you ever see Moonstruck?
I have, yeah.
With Cher?
It's been a while.
Olympia Dukakis is the mom in the movie, and she's her husband, Cher's dad in the movie, is cheating on her. Mm. And she goes, why do men cheat? She asked this a couple times during the course of the movie. Mm-hmm. And finally, she realizes, because they're afraid they're going to die. Well, no, not afraid they're going to die. They are going to die. You know what happens in the fall, like right now?
Yeah.
If you go to a football game, I'm talking a high school football game.
Right.
And there's trash cans. There's bees. They're going crazy this time of year.
Right.
Because they're trying to get that last sting in.
Before the... Yeah,
right? I thought they were just going after some food.
No.
You know what's funny? It's cool you brought...
No, they're guy bees,
Larry, it's funny you bring this up.
They're going nuts to get the last sting in.
But the hottest story in the country right now, believe it or not, it's in the New York Post. It's everywhere. It's Adam Levine. These women are coming out talking about how he's cheating on his wife.
Women?
Larry.
I thought it was just one.
No, there's like several now.
Oh.
New York Post.
And naturally, he's married to a supermodel.
He's going... Yes, and he's
that's the part that's hard for a lot of people, and I get it, you know? Yeah. I mean, if guy, it's a conundrum, because I don't think women get to a certain point where they care as much about it. I don't know what to describe it as, Sheila.
No, well, no, I would say women tend to we're more emotional. We think
more
emotionally than the physical part of it. I think men, they're hung up on the physical part of it.
We have no scruples, man.
I mean, you know, full disclosure, Sheila, I'm sure you've heard this, that guys usually get to talk. Typically, it's from your dad at some point. God gave you two heads. Don't think with the smaller one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And apparently, a lot of people do not take dad's advice.
No. That's what I'm saying about ask the Lord. You made us this way.
It's
why
amazing.
Is it a woman's shape is so attractive to a man? It could be anything.
I don't know. It's a man. It's amazing.
It's hardwired.
That's how we recreate, procreate. That's the idea.
It is. You know, but there's a movie called Beautiful Girls, and Michael Rapaport is in it, and a few other people, and Uma Thurman. I recommend watching it. Run the holiday season, about old friends getting together. And this one guy, a couple of them just loved beautiful girls. And he had posters on. And they just thought he was shallow. And they go, what is it with beautiful girls? He goes, because to a man, they're high, hope in high heels.
Hope.
And I thought, that's a cool line. Like you feel a feeling of hope or something that is given, like a gift. It gave him a gift of feeling, like this euphoric feeling of hope, he said. I thought that was kind of cool. That's what from the gift, like it's from God, a gift that they're, you know,
I mean,
kind of,
if you were deeply in love and you were exclusive to that person, which you should be if you're married, but sometimes that's not
take the
way
vow,
it goes
it's kind
for
of
a
big
of
thing.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big promise.
You know, but that's the perfection part, you know, where two become one and why are we talking about this?
That's cool. It's interesting.
And then two becomes 40.
Well, or you just say, you write in a contract, I do, but if I'm on the road, I don't. It's a Bob Hope rule.
Well, we do have prenups.
Do you remember, Jim, when we were in Pizza Fraud with Bruno, and Bruno mentioned that his father was one of 25 children.
Yes.
Do you remember this?
Yes, which is amazing.
And we saw the house. It must have been like a factory. But what happened was there was a couple one woman, I think she had like seven kids, and the guy had six or seven, and their spouses died, so they married together. And then kept having kids, and then decided they were going to sleep in separate bedrooms, and then they had twins.
How about that? Yeah, so 20? Separate bedroom thing worked for them.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You were there in that little town.
It was pretty cool.
I don't think the town could house 25 children, but then... When I was in Ireland, they showed us where a lot of the Irish would live in these mud houses. I forget what they called them. And there were dirt floors. But there was a little master bedroom nook. It wasn't even a bedroom. It was just like a bed like a dug area. Into the wall with a sheet.
Yeah, and Bob was Hope cold. Was in the bed. No, I'm kidding.
And Bob Hope was there. Yeah,
full circle.
My thought was, and here's, I don't know, just random thought, but I remember thinking it.
Right.
I'm looking around. I'm like, what else is there to do?
Got a point.
But
and right?
that's you're why in a teeny tiny place like that, and your kids are 2 feet away on the floor.
Well, that's
the sheet,
problem.
But I mean, still.
That's a problem. You got to put two
really
sheets up.
Quiet.
Yeah,
so
really
you
quiet.
They're pretty masterful at it.
Oh, yeah. Man, I love the Brian and Gary.
They used to be a radio duo.
Very
on
funny.
WTAE radio back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They were battling Jack Bogut and... But anyway, they had Jonathan Winters in one time, and Jonathan Winters was going
genius.
Off. You know, he was like before Robin Williams, there was Jonathan Winters.
Yeah. Robin Williams.
He was on that scale of, you know, in the moment. What do you call that when you just
improv?
Riff.
Improvisation improv was riff. Just amazing.
Yeah, like, and he's talking about this guy from Sweden meeting this blonde girl, and his name is Sven, and he saw the woman, and he goes, and they made this sound, which was the quintessential, this is it for guys. Everybody knows.
Hey.
Yeah, that's right. You remember that?
Yes. He nailed it. That's exactly what that sound is.
Hey.
Sven saw Sven. The woman, and she came in the, hey.
Speaking of voices, have you seen or heard about the movie Marcel the Shell?
No.
Okay, you know Marcel the Shell, the little guy that's like 3 million followers. It's a little tiny animated shell with eyes
and little
shoes.
Is this a new movie? It's out. An old movie.
It is a new movie, but Marcel the Shell has been on YouTube and online for about 10 years.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm a big Marcel the Shell fan because I like to imitate Marcel the Shell.
Let us have it.
Well, I just want to say... I watched the movie and fell asleep a couple of times because Marcel the Shell is meant to be in 20-second sound bites, not a movie.
Oh, but really? So you don't recommend me watching
the
movie?
Marcel the Shell. This is hi. Yes, this is Marcel, and I'm here with Larry and Jim, and we're doing a podcast.
So imagine that
I can't
for
wait
an
to
entire
see the movie.
Movie.
I can't wait to see it because
so
I want to see how good your impression was.
Okay, this has 100%. Listen, 100% Rotten Tomatoes. 100%.
What bad?
What movie?
It's that bad.
Okay.
Wow.
No, that's good. That's supposed to be
good.
Oh, yeah, that's supposed to be good.
It's positive.
But here's my
Except
theory.
You fell asleep.
Okay,
though.
I did. So here's my. I watched it with my daughter, my grown daughter, and she loved it. But here's the thing: if you have enough drinks. And enough people,
yeah,
you're going to find this movie hilarious.
Okay,
but if not,
you're like a seashell.
Is this like when you watch The Wizard of Oz with
seashell.
The album soundtrack from Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd,
something like that?
If you have enough, have enough beers in me, I think I'd laugh at a seashell.
Yeah, I mean, it's so stupid. It's
good, huh?
Kind of funny.
You fell
at times.
Asleep though. It's kind of throwing me off, right, Larry?
Yeah.
Doesn't inspire me.
Well, it didn't really have much of a plot.
Please tell me you fell asleep.
I mean, what do you do with a little shell, a seashell?
Yeah, well.
Did you fall asleep during Maverick also?
And sneakers.
I was the guy that invented, you know, that, what was it? What's that guy's name? The lobster.
Oh, what's his name? Yeah. Him.
That show.
Him.
Wait,
yeah,
what's
that.
The lobster?
You know, the show.
The lobster.
SpongeBob.
SpongeBob.
Yes.
Who would have thought that
would
go?
Okay, well, that was funny, though.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
I think SpongeBob
It's really
was
adult
funny.
Humor. That's double entendre that goes over the heads of the kids. They
yes.
like it.
You know. Yeah. You know what's funny? I had five voices for a Nickelodeon hit show called Action League. Now
I remember.
I get kids in their 30s now.
Scott Paulson and you.
Scott did it, and Chris Winter did a voice, and I did like five regular voices. Because I
do you make a lot of money doing?
No,
that?
I had the worst deal ever. I didn't know what I didn't even know what
for
I was.
Life.
Yeah, I had life. I had no idea what I was doing. I knew it was fun. And these guys, I'd sit there and they'd, Jimmy, can you do this voice of this lab? Yeah, sure. And I didn't realize that I should have got paid a lot of money. But it became a pretty big hit, this Action League Now. But I was saying, when you did that voice, it is fun. That is one of the funnest gigs in the world I had, those five seasons of Action League Now. I did make a lot of money on a Burger King commercial. They used two of my figures, Stinky Diver and The Flesh, two of my characters, became kid meals. Like they gave
you,
away.
Wait really? A minute.
Yeah,
you were the voice of a kid meal for Burger King.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you give us a little?
Yeah, Stinky Diver was kind of like a kind of a Mick Jagger's kind of. Or I'm sorry, a Keith Richards kind of guy. Like,
and the other guy was The Flesh. He was like this. He was a bodybuilder kind of little figurine, and it was called Chuckamation. They take the little figurines. They had had action all through the house, and it's a very interesting show. You can find it online. They have T-shirts they sell on Amazon, believe it. Actually, now it's good. It had a great cult following. But two of my characters became a kid meal thing at Burger King. My mom saved them, I'll send a photo to you guys. But it's a flesh, but it was really cool. It was a really cool thing. But it just reminded me when you said the show. So I'm like, a seashell. But it'd be cool to do a whole movie with doing different voices.
That's really
animation.
That's actually,
but it's pretty really cool, right? It's fun.
I'd love to be a cartoon.
You
character
would. Do, I could see you kill it.
You both do amazing voices. In fact, Jim, is there a voice that you can't do, or what's the hardest voice that you tried to do?
I can do all. But it takes time. George Clooney was the hardest.
Why?
Whenever I go to L.A., I have to do impressions, but I have to do impressions no one else is doing.
Why is that so hard, the George Clooney voice?
I don't know why they are, but it was. And all of a sudden, I didn't sound anything like him for months and months and months. Huh. And all of a sudden, something. I watched a movie called Up in the Air. And what we have to do is watch a lot of movies with him, watched everything. And I don't know why. I just got. He did a speech. He was like a corporate guy of... self-help dude or something. So you guys always need this speech, and I don't know why I caught one line. Was like, what if you put your whole life in a suitcase? And I started to get the cadence of George Clooney. I started to get how he talked. And then all of a sudden, I started working from the cadence and his voice, and that's how I started doing George Clooney. He said, that's what
that's
he sounds
great.
Like.
That's
started
really
to get
good.
There.
That's really
it
cool.
It took months and months. Right now, I'm working on Seth Rogen. I'm working on him and Nick Cage. So I'm way not near.
I do a couple, but not. I mean, I.
You could do
Joe DiNardo really well.
You could do no. You could do anybody you want. You could do anyone you want because you have that whatever that is. But it takes
a while.
9 months, 10 months. Some of them I do real quick. I remember, was a kid.
So here's Noah what Nicholson happened to me. Quick. I was doing the Pittsburgh Speaker Series as the moderator, and you do a Q&A, and the former U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch was the speaker.
Okay.
And after she told about an encounter on the tarmac at an airport with Bill Clinton, and there were people wondering, what are they doing? What's happening? And she told the inside story. So here we are, Heinz Hall, and here this is the end of the Q&A part. This is the end of the evening. And she's telling us that Bill, wouldn't leave. He just wanted to small talk everybody about golf and this and grandkids. And so when she was done, I did my Bill Clinton.
Can you do it for us?
I just want to say, Loretta,
see, you can do
I
it.
Love that dress you're in. That's so beautiful. You want to run for president?
And that's a great
got a big kick out of it, but it was short-lived in
it's
a moment.
It's good, man.
No, can't really sustain.
You have the thing that you're
really
to
good.
Do them, man. I'm working on the bit I'm working on for October 1st. I'm at the Steamworks Creative with Larry, October 1st.
And I will be there.
And Sheila's
going to
be there. I can't wait. A bit I'm working on. I'm single, so when I go on dates, people say, how'd it go? So I thought, it's almost like when you go on a date and you're single, and you almost have to do a press conference, but mine don't go well. I'm like angry, like Bill Belichick. I'm Belichick. They say, how'd it go? Well, you saw it out there. It's a mess. He's a mess. That's the way it is. We tried. We watched the film. And that's what we do. I mean, he tries. Jimmy's trying. All he gave it all he had. And, that's a stupid question. That sounds like him a little bit. So I got to listen to Belichick now over and over because I want to get him perfect. Sometimes you do an impression and the person, the audience doesn't know it may be dead on. The audience doesn't know it. So it's an interesting thing. It has to be a person that is a character that people have seen a lot.
Okay.
So it's an odd talent, I guess.
And speaking of talent, Jimmy's going to be singing. I'll be there too. The Porch Concert, Friday, October 7th, yes, in Morningside at Beth Klassen's house. You can check us out. Go to your website.
It's like the coolest thing, man, to be there.
Are you going
to
sing sometime with us? Dance?
You should. You should.
Not Sheila. Unless I start taking singing lessons.
You should.
Been a long time.
I'm going to sing Tiny Tim, medley.
Again, great impression. There you go.
The tulips.
He does an impression.
That's where I'll be.
Larry.
Through the tulips with me.
You know, it's funny. I noticed, this is why I know you could do any impression you wanted. It would take, you know, some longer, whatever. Because right there, I saw your face expression. You become the person. And in a way, you've got to kind of become the attitude.
Well, meeting
of the person
him helped. Because then I can, you know, dial back.
Yes.
And I watched on YouTube.
Of what you saw.
And then he did one about divorce, just a couple lines, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, he called me Mr. Richard. Yes, Mr. Richard. I said, just call me Larry, Tiny. Yes, Mr. Richard. But I got a song about divorce. When we get our divorce from the district court, what a happy young pair we will be. You will go your way, I will go mine, in our interlocutory degree. I thought, wow. Tiny Tim.
Could you imagine?
The world could use another Tiny Tim these days.
He sold it, man. He just had the attitude and the whole
deal. Stuck to it.
Before Miss Vicky. Before Miss Vicky. Do you think he was in the Bob Hope League? Because that was a unique act. He had a lot of confidence. Is he below the Ed Asner line?
He told me.
He's below the Ed Asner line.
We'll end on this note because he told me about his private life.
Oh, he did?
I asked him about it.
He left there.
Tiny. You
Tiny.
Are.
Tiny.
Did you call him Tiny?
Tiny. Where did you get that nickname, Tiny?
I go, Tiny. I said, you realize that your wedding to Miss Vicky is still the highest rated episode of Johnny Carson ever had, right? And he goes, I can't even mention her name. If I do, I'll get sued.
Wow.
I said, well, do you have a love interest now? I do. I'm married, and I have a brownstone in New York, and we don't stay in the same place. That's the perfect marriage. And I'm thinking, all right, he might be onto something. And he goes, and it's wonderful. She comes every night, and she says, my Sultan, is there anything I can do for you?
Oh, my God. That's
and
awesome.
I either have her in.
My Sultan.
Or I say, no, thank you. And I'm thinking, oh, just what you're saying.
See?
Yeah.
That woman has Tiny above the Ed Asner line. That's
even
amazing.
Even Tiny. Was getting.
Yeah.
See,
everybody
Sheila?
Gets their own.
Everyone gets the tiptoe through the tulips.
You don't find that Tiny
God
attractive.
Bless Tiny.
You don't find, no.
I bet I'm not going there.
I bet he could win you over.
I don't think so.
On that note, saints and sinners and all things in between, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. Sheila Hyland,
I like
Jim
Sheila,
Krenn.
Jim, I like Sheila Hyland.
Episode 45. Want to thank Dick Roberts, our producer. Jim Patulski, one of our partners, Face for Radio Productions. And most of all, thank you. If you got this far, I hope you got something out of this. I hope it's reworked your life with Jimmy's Miracle or Sex Talk.
We hope you get something.
Yes, we hope somebody gets
we
something
hope you're
without
above.
Getting something else.
We hope you're above the Ed Asner line.
Audacy is our free app, AUDACY. You can get the podcast there. There are a lot of great episodes with a lot of great guests. Or you can go to kdkradio.com. Episode 45, guys. That's a wrap.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.